You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
It is Family Day weekend in our province, and I don't know what you have planned today, if you're going to spend time with your family, if you're going to spend time with your family tomorrow, but here's something we need to understand. As our province marks a holiday to celebrate the family, here's something ironic that we need to understand. In our society and in our culture, the family as the nucleus of society is under attack. The family is under attack. Marriages are under attack. Men are under attack. Women are under attack. Children are under attack. Unborn babies are under attack. It's ironic that we celebrate as a province in our country Family Day, yet our culture has declared war, it seems, on the design of God for the family. Now, in God's providence, according to God's plan, the past 2 weeks we've landed in a portion of Scripture that addresses husbands and wives. And last week we talked a little bit about the role of wives, and specifically in the context that Peter was writing to, and today we will address the husbands. Now, as I walked into the theater today, a couple men nudged me and said, hey, go easy on us men today. And I will go, I'm a man, I'm a husband, but there's some things in God's word that God wants to say to husbands specifically. And so the title of the message today is When Marriage is Hard, A Word to Husbands. When Marriage is Hard, A Word to Husbands. So I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you don't have a Bible today, you could slip up your hand and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hands. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. We're going through the book of 1 Peter, verse by verse, line by line. We want everything that God has for us in this passage of Scripture, in this letter that Peter is writing. And so we land at verse 7 today, and we're going to expound one verse. How many believe we have a message out of one verse? Amen? We have a sermon out of one verse. We have that today. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, this is what Peter says. He says this, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." I'm going to read that again. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." This one verse is action-packed for husbands. This one verse contains, I suggest to you, a very serious word for husbands. And it's a word that we will all need to pay attention to today. So this is where we're going to start. Write this down. First thought is this, a serious word to husbands. Number one, husbands, as you relate to your wives, write this down, serve her sacrificially. Serve her sacrificially. Notice verse 7 again. "Likewise, husbands." Let's stop right there. Just as we saw last week, the word "likewise," it can't be overlooked. When you're doing your Bible reading. Sometimes you just read quickly. You don't realize that there's so much in this word. Likewise, when Peter says, likewise, husbands, he's saying something very important, as we saw last week, because he's alerting us to examine the greater context. Likewise, other translations say, in the same way. So the logical question to ask is this: in the same way as what? Likewise, husbands, in the same way, husbands, I'm going to tell you something, but you need to pay attention to what I've just said, because I want you to do something in the same way as I've just instructed a bunch of things, and that's important. And so just as we saw last week, in order to answer the question, in the same way as what, we need to remember and understand the context. That Peter's been teaching us how we are to relate to authority, specifically authority that is difficult, authority that is oppressive, authority that goes against everything that we believe as Christians. We've seen that Peter lays out some specific instructions to believers, and he's addressing this authority submission dynamic. He's already addressed what we are to do when we're oppressed by the government. We've already seen what we're supposed to do when we're oppressed by our employers or our masters in that context. We've seen and saw last week what wives are supposed to do when they are being oppressed by unbelieving or unreasonable husbands. If you weren't with us last week, you can check out that message. But let's just be reminded of what Peter's told us to do on the screen for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, 13. He's told us to be subject, okay? To submit to be subject for the Lord's sake. It's for God's sake. It's to worship Jesus, ultimately, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution. He went on in 1 Peter 2:18 in this section to address a second group. He says on the screen, servants, here it is again, be subject, submit to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the unjust. And then on the screen last week, we saw that he addressed yet another group of vulnerable believers when he wrote to wives. He said, likewise, in the same way, wives, here's the command again, be subject to your own husbands. We broke down what that means, specifically in this context. So just as all believers are to submit to the governmental institutions, and just like all believers are to submit to the authority and leadership of their employers and masters, and just like wives are to submit to the leadership of their husbands, listen now, listen. Every husband is called by God to a kind of submission that must mark every single believer in Jesus Christ, whether male or female. But more specifically, every husband is called by God to the kind of submission that is absolutely fundamental to all leadership and all spiritual leadership. It's modeled after Jesus Christ. It's often referred to as servant leadership. So just in case you're a man in the room or you're a husband in the room and you think your job as a husband or as a man is just to call the shots and push people around and lead people wherever you think is best and knock people down as you see fit. Peter says, likewise, husbands, in the same way, husbands, you are to live and embrace a kind of submission, a submission that marks every husband and every spiritual leader. Again, it's modeled supremely in the chief shepherd, our chief overseer, Jesus Christ himself. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but you go through your social media feed or you check the news or whatnot, you'll find no shortage of examples of scandals being brought to the light. And specifically, scandals being brought to light in the Christian church. And some of the most devastating scandals and controversies, at least in the Christian community, they're usually centered around some kind of leader, a trusted leader. That there's this trusted leader somewhere in a church, or this husband that's prominent for whatever reason, and he's broken the trust of the people that he's been leading. It's the prominent pastor, for example, who's intimidating his staff, who's mishandling money, who's abusing his authority, and word gets out, man, this guy's making a mess of things. It's a group of elders who are overlooking sin in the church in a way that's seriously hurting the church, and it gets exposed somehow, and it's just like, what are these guys doing? It's the children's ministry leader who's being inappropriate with the precious children. It's a husband who's been unfaithful to his wife. It's a husband who's not just unfaithful, but who's been abusive and promiscuous and deceitful, sadly. Sadly, there's no shortage of examples of these type of scandals that are centered around, usually, some kind of leader, some kind of overseer. Now, while God has ordained the dynamic of authority and submission for the good of society and for the good of marriage according to His beautiful design, what you need to understand is that sin has affected this dynamic in many ways. It's sin that precipitates the attitude of dominance in leadership. It's sin that precipitates the attitude of dictatorship in leadership. It's sin that precipitates the attitude that seeks to power up over the people that you are leading. And sadly, many Christian husbands think that this is what it means to be a leader. That you power up over. You push anyone out of the way to accomplish your mission or your vision. You grab everyone and expect everyone to follow you blindly. And if they don't, you can turn around and you can slam them. Sadly, many husbands, many even pastors think that this is what leadership is. This is not biblical spiritual leadership. When Peter says, likewise, husbands, he's pointing out a very, very profound reality. That all the submission that he's been talking about, that husbands are not off the hook, just like any ordinary Christian is not off the hook. We, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another in the church. We serve one another. And when Peter says, likewise, husbands, he's saying, there is a kind of submission that must mark your life as a husband. There is a kind of submission that must mark your leadership as a husband. You don't submit to your wife the way she submits to you, but you better believe there's a kind of submission that every husband is called to. That's what Peter is showing us here. Well, it's not an accident. It's not an accident at all that just a few verses earlier, right in the middle of all these commands to submit to another, one another, to authority, excuse me, it's not an accident that Peter rehearses in detail. What does he rehearse? The example of Jesus Christ. If you look back a few verses, you'll see there's this section. There's this a few verses right in there. There's enough for us definitely to pay attention to that. Right smack dab in the middle of all these instructions to submit to authority, he places this description of Jesus Christ, his humble submission to the Father, and in fact, how Jesus served us by going to the cross. He was reviled and didn't revile in return. He was reviled. He didn't threaten. He could have done whatever he wanted. Who's the supreme leader of the universe? It's Jesus Christ. What's the example we see in this very text of Jesus Christ? It's an example of the creator of the universe laying down his rights, submitting ultimately to his Father's will, but serving his church. It's also not an accident that the Apostle Paul, in one of the most theologically robust texts on marriage, makes this exact parallel very explicit. On the screen for you, notice it in Ephesians 5. I'm just going to read one verse. Ephesians 5:25, but the whole passage is loaded. If you want to know what you ought to do and be as a husband, just go there. Ephesians 5:25, later go back to it, just keep reading. But Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. And what did he do? And gave himself up for her. So every husband in the room needs to listen to me very carefully. Every man in the room needs to listen to me very carefully. The call of every husband is not to dominate. The call of every husband is to die. The call of every husband is not to dictate. The call of every husband is to deny themselves. The call of every husband and the mark of every Christ-like husband and every Christ-like leader is not my way or the highway. It's, I love you so much, I will lay down my life for you. The mark of every husband is not, do it my way because I'm the man and I'm the leader, follow me. The mark of every husband is, I love you so much, I care so much what you think, I want to know how my decisions are impacting you. If they're impacting you negatively, I want to know, I love you, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give up everything for you. That's the call of every husband. The mark of every Christ-like leader. Likewise, husbands. In other words, husbands, there's a kind of submission that is fundamentally Christian. And in marriage, it's your job to lead the way by serving your wife sacrificially and selflessly. I'll say that again. In marriage, it is your responsibility to, listen to me, to lead the way. You're a leader. To lead the way in sacrificial service, in humble and selfless service. Husbands, is this what our leadership looks like? Serious word to husbands. Number one, serve her sacrificially. Secondly, this, write this down. Serious word to husbands. Secondly, this, know her intimately. Know her intimately. Verse 7, likewise, husbands, here it is now. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Live with your wives. It's translated dwelling together. It denotes an intimate dwelling together. It denotes living with someone in intimacy. It denotes living with someone with consideration. It denotes living with someone in a way, as the text says, in an understanding way, considering them. Considering their deepest emotional and physical needs. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. In an understanding way, it literally means according to knowledge. That we are to live with our wives according to knowledge, intimate knowledge of her. You got to know her, but even more significantly than that, intimate knowledge of what God's word says about her. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Literally, live with your wives according to knowledge. Know her emotional needs, know her physical needs, but open God's word and know what God says about her. I'm convinced this is half, even more than half the trouble You have no idea what God says about your wife. You've made up something in your own mind. And you've treated her accordingly. So live with your wife in an understanding way or according to knowledge. It means growing in a knowledge of your wife's emotional and physical needs, and growing in a knowledge of what God says about her, so that you will be equipped to considerately and intentionally and lovingly meet her needs. In a context where wives were being dominated, in a context where it was normal in the culture, wives would have been viewed as less than equal to the husband, Peter says something so countercultural. He says, hold on. This is what I want every Christian husband to do. Live with your wives in an understanding way, according to knowledge, knowing her intimately, knowing her needs, emotional and physical, and knowing what God's word says about her, so that you can meet her needs. Now, in speaking with many women, it becomes very clear that one of the greatest sources of hurt and pain among wives in marriage is the feeling of being neglected. It's the feeling that, and we hear the same words over and over again, it's the feeling that I feel alone in this marriage. It's the feeling that I feel like he's not interested. He's not all there. That he comes home from work and he throws himself on the couch, and I know he's tired, he's exhausted. Men, you're working hard, but I feel, many wives, I feel like he doesn't know what's happening in my heart. He doesn't want to know what's happening in my heart. Peter says, husbands, you got to know. We have to know. We have to live in. It doesn't say, husbands, bring home the bacon, and when you get home, do whatever you want. It doesn't say, husbands, make sure your family's financially secure, and then you can just do whatever you want. He doesn't say, make sure you're making a lot of money, make sure she has a nice car that she can drive around, make sure she has all that she needs in the house, and when you get home, as long as that's taken care of, you do whatever you want. No, no, no. He says, husbands, live, dwell with intimacy with your wives in an understanding way, according to knowledge, a knowledge of her deepest needs, her emotional needs, her physical needs, but knowledge, growing knowledge of what God says about your precious bride. What does God say about this woman? What does God want for this woman? What does God want me to do so that I can help this woman become all that God wants her to be? Live with your wives according to knowledge. On the screen for you, Greg Wilson wrote an article on his blog entitled Helping Men Become 3-7. Husbands, 3-7, referring to 1 Peter 3:7. Listen to what he wrote. He wrote, a 3-7 husband lives with his wife according to his knowledge of how God has designed her. More importantly, according to his knowledge of God. Wilson suggests a few helpful questions for husbands to ask themselves, questions that will reveal very quickly whether or not we are, in fact, living with our wives in an understanding way. I just want you to understand. I should have said this at the outset. I'm preaching to myself. I want you to know that. I'm preaching to myself. I don't want to take for granted that you know that when I'm studying this week and I'm coming across things like this, like I'm putting myself through the ringer. I'm examining my heart. I'm falling short. I'm just putting my hands on my head and saying, what's wrong with you? You are an awful husband so many days. So I'm preaching to myself. But I'm also preaching to this church and the men of this church. I want to put some things in perspective here for us, because it's easy to think to ourselves as men, all right, we'll just do a little bit better, and I think I'm doing that. And most times men think they're doing a good job, but when you ask the wife, it's like she's like, you're not doing it. I look at my marriage, for example. There's many times where I think I'm good, I think I'm cool, I think everything's smooth, but you ask my wife and she's like, not exactly. It's not quite the way you think it is. And so let's let this helpful article help us Am I living with my wife in an understanding way? Do you want to know if you are? Four questions for husbands to ask themselves on the screen. Number one, do I try to understand God's unique design for my wife? Do I try to understand God's unique design for my wife? Husbands, this is for you for self-examination. What is her role according to God's word? Do I care about that? Have I looked into that? What are her gifts and talents? Am I thinking about that? Have I discovered those things? Husbands, don't say anything, but what's your wife's gifting? What are her abilities? What is her role? What does God want for her with our children? What does God want for her within our church? What does God want for her in ministry? What does God want for her with our neighbors? What does God have for her? What is she most passionate about? I don't see any husbands writing things down. You got, come on, man. I'm just kidding. We got to know this. Do I try to understand God's unique design for my wife? Second question to ask yourself. Am I considerate of my wife? Am I considerate of my wife? Do I know what hurts her? Do I know what blesses her? Do I seek to actively eliminate the things that I'm doing that hurt her and work diligently every single day to do the things that bless her? All right, let's ask the question, husbands. What hurts your wife? What is the thing that maybe you do and you don't realize, you're not intentionally doing it, but she's talked to you about it. You do something and it hurts her. Do you know what it is? And some of you say, I know what it is. Well, have you stopped doing those things? And what about the things that bless her? Have you thought, what blesses her heart? It could be as simple as a cup of coffee in the morning, that when you make a cup of coffee for your wife and you bring it to her, that is a blessing to her. So do that. Maybe it's that you clean up after yourself. If that blesses her, then do that. Whatever it is. Know and be considerate. Am I considerate of my wife? Third question, do I understand my calling to love her like Christ loves the church? It's a good question. Do I understand my calling? Do I know my role in loving her like Christ loves the church? Have I been a faithful and disciplined student of God's word as it pertains to my role within this marriage? And by the way, men, the learning never stops. You may understand the theology of marriage, but your application of that theology should never cease to be your aim. It's not enough to understand it theologically. It must be our practice. And then fourthly, ask yourself this question. This is where the rubber meets the road. What examples can I give of living with my wife according to this knowledge? What examples can I give? All right. A lot of men are results oriented. We're driven by outcomes and goals. All right. Here's where the rubber meets the road. How do you know? How do you know that you're living with your wife in an understanding way? Well, do I have any examples that I can point to that I am living with my wife in an understanding way? Now, if you have no examples, this is a place of grace. If you have no examples, this is not a time for you to get slammed. If you have no examples, this is a time for you to say, man, I need to wake up here. I have to serve her sacrificially. I have to know her intimately, and I want to be able to fill a page with examples of how I'm living with my wife in an understanding way, according to a knowledge of her and her needs, in a way that blesses her and encourages her. Here's the word to us, husbands. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. A serious word to husbands. Serve her sacrificially.
Know her intimately. Finally, this. A serious word to husbands. Last thing. Treat her with dignity. Treat her with dignity. Verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. That's literally according to knowledge. Watch this now. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life. There's a lot in there. I want to tell you what it means. To show honor is to show respect. To show honor is to treat her with dignity. To show honor is to value and to esteem her. So when you're walking around the house and she's trying to talk to you, you're not just kind of like letting her talk to the air. Just stop. Turn around. Walk towards her. Look at her. That's like the basics of respect. When you're at work and your boss is talking to you, you're not floating around the office like, okay, I'll get back to you. Yeah, let me just grab a sandwich first. No, you're not doing that. When your boss is talking to you, when an important person that you respect is talking to you, you stop what you're doing. You look them in the eye. You pay attention. You listen. You reiterate what they're saying to you. If there's something that's hurting them, you lean in. You drop what you're doing. You respect the person. It's basic. And I'm preaching to myself. There's many times in my household where my brain is exploding with ministry obligations. There's many times in my household where my phone is buzzing and it doesn't stop buzzing. And my wife, my precious wife, is trying to talk to me and I'm just like checking the phone and stressed out. And God, forgive me. God, forgive us. The most fundamental component, the most fundamental mark of respect, just an example. Show her honor. Look her in the eye. Show respect. Treat with dignity. Value and esteem her. Don't brush her off. Now, this would have been very countercultural, you have to understand. Because as I said earlier, the view in the day that Peter is writing to, and the view of that historical context was that women were not equals and therefore were treated poorly. And Peter, you need to understand, the Bible is challenging that view of the day. Peter is combating the poor treatment of women. Peter, in fact, communicates very clearly the equality of women. Now, some of you who are astute Bible students, you're saying, are you sure about that, Jason? Like, you didn't finish the verse. There's something in there. It doesn't sound like Peter's really holding up women and men as equals. Let's look at it. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman. Some of you are saying, look, Jason, look. This doesn't sound like equality as the weaker vessel, Peter says. What does that mean? What is he talking about? Well, some have turned this portion of Scripture into an immensely controversial verse. I don't know why. It's very plain to me. It's very straightforward. Listen to what Thomas Schreiner wrote. He's helpful. On the screen, he says, in what sense are women weaker? Nothing in the New Testament suggests that women are intellectually inferior, nor is it clear that women are weaker emotionally, for in many ways, the vulnerability of women in sharing their emotions and feelings demonstrates that women are more courageous and stronger than men emotionally. Nor did Peter suggest that women are weaker morally or spiritually than men. Such a view would suggest that men are actually better Christians than women, which is not taught anywhere in the Scriptures, nor is evident in history. So what is he talking about then? Vast majority of scholars agree that Peter is simply referring to physical strength. Apparently, men were imposing their physical strength upon the women of the day. They didn't view the women as equal. And remember the earlier context? Peter's teaching the wives how to submit to unbelieving and unreasonable husbands. And Peter's saying, like, some of you are so unreasonable that you're powering up over your wife physically. Now, it's not true in every case that men are stronger physically than women, but generally speaking, this is not an issue of equality. It's an issue of sameness. It's an issue of biology. What Peter's saying here is that men are generally more physically stronger than women. And what Peter is saying is, don't you dare impose yourself physically upon the woman. Since she's the weaker vessel, show her honor. She's not as strong as you. She's not as big as you. She's not as tall as you. Show her honor. Respect her. It's so important. Because I don't know what you've seen in your life, but you don't have to be a pastor very long to know that there are men who impose themselves physically on their wives. You may say, really, that happens? Well, I'm talking about the spectrum. I'm talking about when you're in the middle of a disagreement and the very act of standing up and just standing up to your wife and she's here and you're stepping to her, that's imposing her, you're intimidating her. You're stronger than her, and that happens. Or whether you're standing up to your wife and you're grabbing her arm. You listen to me. Peter's saying, she's weaker than you. Show her honor. That's not right. He's fighting for women here. Peter is fighting for this. Or whether you actually stand up and you actually lay a hand on your wife. Listen to what Peter's saying. My paraphrase, don't you dare impose yourself physically upon your wife. He says, she's not as strong as you. Respect her. Honor her. You say, I didn't realize I was scaring her. But she told you 10 times, you're scaring me. But I didn't touch her. She said, you're scaring me. Respect her. Honor her. Treat her with dignity. He's saying that because, generally speaking, you are physically stronger than your wife, better be careful not to intimidate her with your physical strength. Why? Why, Peter? Why? Well, notice it in verse 7 again. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Here it is. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. In other words, husbands, men, you must honor your wife. You must honor women. Why? Because they are equal to you in dignity. That's what he's saying. In a context that would not have understood that. In a context where the men were viewed as better than women, Peter says, show her honor. Why? Because they are heirs with you. They will share in the inheritance of heaven with you. They are equal to you. The inheritance that is waiting for you from God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's not just for you. She's an heir with you. She will inherit the kingdom with you. Peter is saying, you are equals. You're equal in dignity. Treat her with dignity. Your wife shares the same eternal destiny as you do. Your wife is the recipient of the same eternal hope and inheritance as you are, so treat her with dignity. Practical application. Men, it doesn't matter what we think or what we feel. We need to listen. We need to listen to our wives. And if there's anything in her that shows us that she is hurt by our disrespectful behavior or our domineering behavior or our abuse of our leadership or our mishandling of our God-given mantle of leadership, then you need to do what Jesus does. Humble yourself and listen. And repent very quickly because she is worthy to be treated with dignity. Now, I was dealing with a marriage in trouble once. The husband kept appealing to me, "Pastor Jason, I don't know what the problem is. I'm praying. I'm asking God to intervene. I'm waking up early to pray. I feel like God doesn't want to answer my prayers." And I paused for a moment. And I thought for a moment. And I looked at him and I said, "I think you're right. God doesn't want to answer your prayers." And I took him to 1 Peter 3:7. Look at it. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life." Here it is. "So that your prayers may not be hindered." How serious is this? How serious is the mantle of leadership that God has placed upon husbands? How serious is it? So seriously, Jesus Christ, God Himself, takes it very personally. He takes it very personally when we don't live with our wives in an understanding way. He takes it very personally when we don't treat our wives with respect. He takes it very personally. In fact, Peter says, "Did you know there's a direct link between God hearing your prayers and the way you treat your wife?" He says, when you fail to treat your wife with dignity, when you fail to respect her, when you fail to serve her sacrificially, he says, something happens in God's heart and God turns his ear away from you, your prayers. How serious is this? This is what I hear. I'm praying. I don't know what's going on in my marriage. You're treating her like trash. That's what's going on. But I'm praying. God has it. No. You better pray God changes you and not change her. Pray God changes you, and then he'll start to hear your prayers when you actually begin to treat her with respect and dignity. This is not works-based righteousness. This is not earning our way to the ear of God. What this is simple. You're in relationship with God. When you sin against him, when you sin against your wife, just like in every relationship, there's a break in the fellowship. Until we can repent and turn, and then fellowship restored. Some of us men in this room today, maybe you've been praying for your marriage. Maybe you're praying for your children. Maybe you are praying. You feel like God is not answering my prayers. How do you treat your wife? What do you think of your wife? Now, this is not a moment of condemnation. It's a moment of grace. I believe what God wants right now is to call, just to put his arms around every single person in this place, and to put his arms around every single husband in the room. And if there's husbands in the room that can acknowledge that, man, I haven't been living with my wife according to knowledge. I haven't been treating her with dignity. I haven't been cherishing her. I haven't been serving her sacrificially. If there's a moment in your heart right now of conviction, that is sweet. That is good. Now, everything in your flesh will say, no, that's not me. I'm okay. No. But listen, don't do that. Husbands, if there's a moment of conviction in your heart right now, this is your sweet moment before the Lord who loves you to lean into him, to say, Jesus Christ, please forgive me. I have abused my leadership. I have mishandled my mantle of leadership. I have been neglectful to my shame. I have treated my wife disrespectfully. And this is what you say, Jesus, forgive me. And I'll tell you what will happen. The blood of Jesus Christ, sufficient to wipe away every sin debt and sin stain. The blood of Jesus Christ washes over every sin in your repentance, and you have a fresh start right now. You say, but man, I've hurt my wife too much. Man, she's not going to believe that I want to make a change. I've done it too much. It's been a pattern for 10 years, 20 years. She's not going to believe me. It's okay. Your concern is you and the Lord, repentance, and start to live out what you know to be the call of God on your life. And in due time, she will see your good deeds. She will see your good works. She will see the change. And she will love you for it. And she will thank God for it. Let's bow our heads right now. In fact, let's stand to our feet. Worship team is going to come now. We're going to sing a song that is going to help us to continue in a spirit of prayer. Because if you're like me, you know you need supernatural strength to do this. You need supernatural strength to be the husband that God wants you to be. You need strength to enable you to even see clearly what's happening in your marriage. We're going to sing this song. We're going to ask the Lord for strength. Maybe there's wives in the room. You're very wounded. You're hurt. You need God's strength too. Maybe you're here, you've been wounded by watching how your parents interacted with each other. They hurt each other frequently. That wounded you, that changed you. You need His strength to forgive, to not continue similar patterns. Likewise, husbands, likewise. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Showing honor. She is the weaker vessel. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Father, this church is a church of prayer. I pray that no longer from this day forward will our prayers be hindered by our mismanagement of our leadership as men and husbands. We pray, we repent, Lord, if we've mishandled our leadership in our homes. We pray, Lord, forgive us if we've abused our leadership as husbands so that you've turned away from our prayers. God, I pray you would wash away every sin and do a lasting work in the hearts of every single man in this room. And we would be men who are showing honor to our wives, and men then who have the ear of God and the power of God at work in us and through us and in our families and in our church and in our workplaces for the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.